I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can actually understand the Bhagavad Gita. Before Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, there were many editions of the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, I have read some of those editions of the Bhagavad Gita. One was published by someone named Christer Isherwood. And guess what? After reading them all, I liked the poetry, but I didn't understand a single word. It was nice. It was poetic. I thought maybe it's a text on nonviolence. Maybe it's a text on transcendental meditation. Maybe it's a text on be here now. I just couldn't figure it out. Eventually, by the mercy of Krishna, I came in touch with Srila Prabhupada and I read his Bhagavad Gita, which was a very small, abridged version in those days. And then it made sense, because Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is called Bhagavad Gita as it is, not Bhagavad Gita as someone wished it was or wanted it to be, or used it for some other particular motive to present their own philosophy. Like many people, they have their own philosophy and they use different texts. Not only the Gita, you know, in Christianity, they use the Bible to present their own philosophy. And people are all over the place and they all use the Gita in India to present their philosophy. But very few, practically just a handful, Prabhupada, different disciplic successions, they present the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And Prabhupada, in his Bhagavad Gita, presents the Sanskrit and the word-by-word translations so we could actually check up and make sure it's as it is. So very, very nice. So, and very few, no Bhagavad Gita's in the Western world made devotees before. I mean, people appreciated it. Certainly Emerson, Thoreau, they read the Bhagavad Gita, you know, in Walden Pond, and they thought, oh, this is very nice. But none of them started chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. None of them shaved their heads, of course. But that's not necessary. And none of them, you know, really took up Krishna consciousness. It was just another intellectual study for them. Because even if they had read a Bhagavad Gita that was properly translated, it wouldn't have had the potency. Because there's two things. There's the knowledge, the jnana, and the vijnana, or the realization. Just like, let us take an electric plug. The two electric plugs may look exactly the same, but one is connected to the powerhouse or to the transformer or to the circuit board, however you may want to express it, and the other one's not. It just looks good. So in the same way, so when something may look like it's the Bhagavad Gita, may actually be an accurate translation, but if it's not presented in disciplic succession, it doesn't have that potency. What do we mean by potency? The potency to enter into someone's heart, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Gata Dudushana Dashu Apavarga Bhartmani Shuddha Vithir Bhakti. Anupramashati, to enter into someone's heart and change their hearts. So Srila Prabhupada's Gita changed my heart and the hearts of millions of other people who decided to dedicate themselves to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at the end of this little presentation, I'm going to show you some realizations that I had today from reading the Bhagavad Gita. I read the whole Bhagavad Gita today. But I didn't just read it, you know, nice story, you know, Krishna's gone, okay, surrender, very nice. I analyzed each and every one of the verses, put them into different categories, and I came up with a little bit different list of categories than you're accustomed to. But it's a surprising list. A really surprising list, because normally you'll read, we have five different categories of Bhagavad Gita. So I keep them as categories, but then there's actually more topics. There's a difference between categories and topics. That's interesting, isn't it? Categories can refer to something we call in Sanskrit tattva. Everybody knows what tattva. Tattva means like certain principles. Like jiva tattva. Is anyone here a jiva tattva? Raise your hand if you're a jiva tattva. We only got three or four in here. Raise your hand if you're Vishnu Tattva. The deities are raising their hands up. You should raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're Shakti Tattva. Raise your hand if you're Siva Tattva. Raise your hand if you're Maya or in Maya. No, no. So there's... Forgive me for the humor. So there's different tattvas, but there's also different topics. There's two different things, topics and tattvas. And I'm equating categories with tattvas right now, or principles. So we come with, but the surprise I came across is really interesting and will shock all of you, or some of you. So let's just do the initial presentation so we get a little basic intro. Okay. Spoken on battlefield, and was spoken approximately a little bit more, a lot more than 5,000 years ago by Krishna to Arjuna, who is bewildered. And so we have several main characters in the Gita, and of course, who's that? Krishna. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You may say, hey, where's that in the Bhagavad Gita? But there's a Hustvam Rishayat Sarve Devarshir Naradas Tata, a verse spoken by Arjuna in which he says that. And that all the sages have declared it to you, that you are God. And then Krishna shows his good old universal form. So if anyone else declares themselves or says that they're God, what should we ask them to do? Show the universal form, or at least fly around the room a few times. Show us. But you don't have to lift Govardhan Hill. Just lift the temple. And renovate it, you know. Yeah, that's all we ask for, you know, you've got. You know, you're struggling with the county and getting permits and everything like that. So change, you know, make the county go along with whatever you want. So otherwise you're not God. So we know that Krishna is God because he shows the universal form. And so many things he did in the battle of Kurukshetra. So he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means there's many incarnations and expansions of God, but Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. That's what Bhagavatam says. And then, of course, you have the Pandavas, the five sons of Pandu, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadev. And they're the good guys. And so there's, you know, like in any story, there's the good guys and the bad guys. So the bad guys... we're not going to talk about them right now. Arjuna is like, his name means silver white. He was the greatest warrior. He's my greatest hero, role model. And along with Hanuman, those two, you know, I just like to think about a lot. And then, of course, you have Bhima. I like what he does, but he's not my role model. Because I don't eat that much. So... he's known as Brikodara, that means he has a wolf belly. He can just eat enormous quantities of food, and then he leaves a little bit over for the other Pandavas. So he's the older brother of Arjuna, and of course there's Yudhisthira, and there's Yudhisthira, Nakula, Sahadev, who all took part in the battle. And so then you have the Kauravas, the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, and they represent the forces of evil, or the avarice and greed of Dhritarashtra, was born blind spiritually and materially. And one of them is named Duryodhana, which means one who fights the wrong way or dirty, or one who fights for the wrong cause. He's a dirty fighter. Guess what it says there, too. And he's the eldest. And they were actually born out of these little vessels. I don't have to get into that whole story. And Dhritarashtra means the one who wants to usurp others' land. And he's the father of the 100 sons. He had one daughter, too, Dushala. And then, of course, there's grandfather Bhishma. And he took that vow of never running the kingdom, of always supporting anyone who was running the kingdom, which was a big mistake because he was supporting the wrong side. He should have supported the Pandavas. There's Drona, who is the guru of the Pandavas and Kurus. There's Sanjaya. He's the actually assistant, not actually a minister. He was actually the chariot driver and assistant of Dhritarashtra. And he was able to perceive the battle of Kurukshetra taking place by the mercy of Srila Vyasadeva. Now, that opulence of being able to see the battle was first offered to Dhritarashtra. Vyasadeva said, "You can see it if you want." And Dhritarashtra said, "I do not want to see my sons die." So he voluntarily gave up the idea of having a sight. So the Bhagavad Gita is related by this Sanjaya to a Dhritarashtra. So this, you set the scene, and then you have Krishna's names in the Bhagavad Gita. This is really interesting how many names Krishna has. Achyuta, infallible, Ananta Rupa, endless forms, Aprameya, immeasurable one, Aprabhava, one of incomparable glory, Arishtis, Aristasudana, destroyer of the enemy, Bhagavan, that means possessor of all opulences, or God, Deva, Devesha, Lord of the gods, so many names, Isha, Idam, Lord who is to be praised, Govinda, the protector of the cows and pleaser of the senses, Hari, one who takes away distress, Rishikesh, controller of the senses, Ishwara, controller, Janardana, agitator of men or mankind tormenting, Keshava, origin of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Keshini Sudana, slayer of the demon Keshi, Madhava, descendant of Madhu, Madhu Sudana, destroyer of the demon Madhu, Mahabahu, mighty armed one, Mahatman, whose self is great, Mukunda, that means giver of liberation, and one has a beautiful face. And we're almost finished with that. Prabhu, splendid one, Prajapati, lord of all creatures, Purushottam, supreme person or best of men, Sahasrabahu, thousand-armed one, Varshneya, clansman of the Vrishnis, Vasudev, son of Vasudev, that's actually Vasudev, son of Vasudev, Vishnu, fully empowered expansion of the supreme personality of Godhead, Yadava, descendant of Yadu and Yogeshwara. So many names. And then Arjuna also has many names, and each of those indicate a particular aspect of his personality. There's Anaga, blameless one, Bharata, descendant of Bharat, Bharata Shrestha, best of the Bharatas, Bharata Rashaba, bull of the Bharatas, Bharat Tash Uttama, highest of the Bharatas, Adeha, Britavara, best of the embodied, Dhananjaya, conqueror of wealth, Gudakesha, conqueror of ignorance and sleep, Kapidvaja, monkey batter, that means he had Hanuman on his monkey, and Hanuman was yelling so loud that he killed people just by his yell during the battle, etc. Konteya, son of Kunti, Kirtin, famed one who is famous, and Kurukshetra, Kurukshrestha, sorry, best of the Kurus, Kuru Nandana, son of Kuru, Kuru Pravira, chief Kuru hero, Mahabahu, mighty armed one, Pandava, son of Pandu, Parantapa, scorcher of the foe, Partha, son of Prita, Purusharshava, bull among men, we said that, Purusha Vyagra, tiger amongst men, Savyasachi, one who is able to wield a bow with one hand, and Vijay, that means one who is always victorious. How to receive Bhagavad Gita? We mentioned this before. We have to understand to hear about. We should hear Bhagavad Gita from someone who is actually on the spiritual platform, connected in the disciplic succession, and following strictly, and then it has potency. This is what's mentioned here. And has to be prescribed to us like this medicine. Sorry, something wrong with this. Medicine that's prescribed by a doctor and given to us by the great spiritual doctors such as Srila Prabhupada. And to receive the Bhagavad Gita and understand the Bhagavad Gita, we have to be properly qualified too. Bhagavad Gita is understood by a devotees. Krishna says, Bhaktimam Abhijanati, I cannot be known by someone who does not have devotion for me. And one must accept Bhagavad Gita exactly as Arjuna did, without personally motivated interpretations, which most of the Bhagavad Gitas that are published in the West have, and also in India, have personally motivated interpretations. One should theoretically at least accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should study the Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly, take notes to understand the Bhagavad Gita. So there's three divisions of the Bhagavad Gita. There's karma, bhakti, and jnana. And you have these 18 chapters. And the first six chapters, they deal with much more than karma, which we're going to discuss in a second. But primarily, they deal a lot with karma. The second group of chapters deals primarily with bhakti, and the third with jnana. But everything is centered on bhakti, as you'll see by my analysis. So bhakti's, the acharyas say that the concentration of bhakti, or on bhakti, in the middle six chapters is to give protection to bhakti as the middle six chapters. It's like when you build a house. So bhakti gives life, it's like in the body and the heart, and gives respect. And it's the most important. That's what the whole Gita is about, bhakti. In fact, there's nothing else but bhakti in the Gita. The numbers. So we talk about number 18. Why number 18? There's 18 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, and there's 18 Puranas. That is, there's more than 18 Puranas, but there's 18 Mahapuranas, or great Puranas. 18 Akshahini divisions, and Akshahini is like many different soldiers, like hundreds of thousands of soldiers, many different chariots. I forget the number right now. And 18 days in the battle of Kurukshetra. And 18 equals 9 plus 9 in numerology. 9 is the highest number. Well, Krishna consciousness, 8 is. Anyway. And we chant 18 times 6, which is 108. And there's 108 principal gopis. So here's, this is the last slide, actually. So here is my analysis. Now, generally you hear about, this is what I did today, in addition to eating prasadam. So this, generally you hear about the five topics, which are under the first one. So I wanted to find out how many verses dealt specifically with that, with the different topics. And I wanted to see if there were any other topics. Guess what I found out? That devotional service, how to be a devotee, how to control your senses, is contained within 322 verses of the Gita. Now, how many verses? Anyone know of the Gita total? 700. So that's almost half of the Gita. Now, let me give you an example of that. So let's take the... Anyway, let's talk about the other topics first before I give you an example. So Ishwara, of course, refers to Krishna. And Krishna is Ishwara, Paramakrishna, Satchitananda, Vigraha, Nadhira, Sarvakarna, Karnam, according to the Brahma Samhita. So Krishna is described, and we went over that before, in the 10th chapter of the Gita. There's quite a bit of information about why Krishna, or that Krishna, is Ishwara. You have the four nutshell verses in the Gita. Who knows the four nutshell verses in the Gita? I know. Begin with 8. What's number 8? 10:8. Well, give me the Sanskrit first. So, I am the source of everything. For me, the entire creation flows. Forgive me, I'm giving the translation. What's the rest of it? Yeah, so there, that's definitely Ishvara. And then the second verse is what? Ramanticha. And how does that go? What is the translation? And bliss by enlightening one another. Yeah. So, guess what? The first verse was about Krishna, but the second is about devotional service. Wow. And what's the third verse? Yes. Yeah, to those. I, with the shining lamp of knowledge, destroy the ignorance with the ignorance in their hearts. So that's also devotional service. And then the last one, Tesham Satadiyuktanam Bhajatam Piti Purvakam Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamamo Piyantite. Those who are devoted to me and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can help to me. So that's also. So you see, even in these four nutshell verses, you got three, you got one dealing with tattva, Ishwara tattva, and the other dealing with devotional service. And also, there's overlapping categories too. Obviously, they also deal with Ishwara. They also deal with Krishna. Krishna is doing this, Krishna is doing that. But as far as describing the tattva of Ishwara, you know, the ontology, what we call ontology, who Ishwara is, or who Krishna is, they more are focused upon devotional service. So that's Ishwara. And Prakriti, there's a lot of information about Prakriti. Prakriti means the material nature. And under the category of Prakriti, I'm including all the verses about the modes of nature. You have quite a few verses, 138 verses that deal with the modes of nature. And why do we have to understand the modes of nature? Because right now we are influenced by the modes of nature or under the modes of nature. So we have to be able to identify different thoughts, different actions, different determination, different workers by this specific methodology of analysis that Krishna has given us. In other words, a devotee will say sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I'm an ignorance guru. You're in passion, Prabhu. So you have to be able to understand when these modes are affecting you and who and what you associate with that's in different modes. Like food is in different modes. Everything in this world is contaminated by different modes of nature. And Krishna says in the Gita, Karnam Gunasangasya Sarasajya Majonishu, that our involvement in this world is due to guna sangha, associated with the modes of nature. So that's why Prakriti is very important to understand. Some devotees say, I'm beyond that. I don't need to understand Prakriti. I don't need to understand Maya because I love Krishna. Well, guess what? Because you have, we all have, imperfect senses, tendency to make mistakes, tendency to cheat, tendency to be bewildered in illusion. So we can make mistakes. We can actually be completely in Maya and think we're Krishna conscious. It happens. You know, you've heard of wolves in sheep clothing. There's devotional service. There's Maya in devotional clothing. So you have to be very, very careful. So Prakriti is very important to understand. And then the next category is the Atma or the soul. And that's very important to understand the soul's qualities. And of course, the second chapter of the Gita has more. I've done a whole analysis, which I haven't had time to type out yet. I have all these different pages I worked on today. And the only thing I typed out was the first one, 322 verses. And if anyone wants this, I could share with them later. So you can see all the verses. These are all the verses in devotional service, 322. And I became so enlivened reading the Gita, seeing how much Krishna is emphasizing devotional service. It's amazing. I mean, when people present the Gita let's say, emphasizing any other topic, basically they don't know what they're talking about. I mean, there are other topics, but they all point towards devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a purpose. Like, there's this verse, there's this word in philosophy called teleology. You know, what is the purpose of the Gita? I mean, is Krishna just speaking the Gita to get Arjuna to fight and kill everybody? Why was the Gita, compiled or written by Srila Vyasadeva and put into the Mahabharata. What is the purpose? Everything must have a purpose. God does not do anything without a purpose. He's not like us. You know, what are you doing? I'm just spaced out today. What are you thinking about? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Especially with children, you ask them that question. What are you doing? Nothing. But, you know, God, Krishna, is very efficient. Everything he does has a purpose. So he's speaking in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the purpose? To engage us in devotional service. To encourage us. To help us understand how to control the mind and senses. Sixth chapter, dealing with controlling the mind and senses. And then ultimately, to serve him. To think of him. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. So that's why Prakriti is described, Atma is described, and karma is hinted at in other verses, but specifically described in 9 verses of the Gita. I'm talking about specific mention. It's an important topic. I mean, it's a very important tattva, but specifically only mentioned in 9 verses that I came across. And then karma, of course, means for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's hinted out in other verses, like those who worship the demigods go to the demigods, you know, those who worship the beings and spirits, etc. So, but it's not specifically mentioned as karma except in 9 verses. And then kala, time, is only mentioned in 4 verses. And that's verses such as, you know, Krishna says, kala wasmi, Arjuna asks, who are you when he sees the universal form? I time I am. So, but still, it's an important category. These are important topics, important categories, but they may not have the most verses. So, getting back to devotional service, I just want to show you or demonstrate how, I mean, I could just pick out any of these verses here and show you how to devote. Let's say chapter 4, text 21. Which I have listed here. And I'm just picking one at random, how it's connected with devotional service. And you'll see, just to give you a little understanding. Text 21 is, such a man of understanding, this is called transcendental knowledge, this chapter, acts with mind intelligence perfectly controlled, giving up all the proprietorship over his possessions and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. And of course, that's in reference to the last verse, abandoning all attachment to the results of his activities. So these are steps. These are part of the steps in devotional service. Even though it's not mentioned here specifically that, you know, love Krishna, be devoted to Krishna, this is part of the sadhana bhakti process or the vaidhi bhakti process. Acting with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, giving up all sense of proprietorship over his possessions, understanding, of course, is my purport, that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, Ishvashamidam Sarvam, Yatkincha Jagajam Jagat, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. So, when we talk about devotional service, we're talking about sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana aspects of devotional service. These are the 3 categories. Sambandha means basically understanding your relationship, the living entity's relationship with God, with the material energy, with devotional service. And abhideya means acting in that relationship, like manmana, bhavamad, bhakto, madhyajimam, namaskar. And prayojana means the ultimate goal. Chaktva deham punajanma naitimam eti sorjana. Like Krishna says in the 4th chapter of the Gita, janma karma chami divya. There's devotional service again. One who knows my transcendental, or the nature of my transcendental activities and appearance, chami divyam, they're transcendental. Evam yo veti tatvaha, one who knows them in truth, then chaktva deham punajanma. Nagimam Eti Sojourner. He goes back to the spiritual world. So, anyway, this is my brief analysis and introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita, understanding that Underneath everything is devotional service. The purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is to engage, encourage you to engage in devotional service. You'll be the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita. So, thank you very much. Any questions or comments before we... Yes? Remaining 27? Yeah, some of them are just introductory. I mean, for example, yeah, that's actually a good point. Some of these are overlapping. This number, you can add all these numbers together, you won't go to 700. Because some of them are just introductory. The first chapter is basically setting the scene. So I went through the first chapter. It's all the conch shells blowing and Arjuna getting scared and saying he will not try. But you really don't have the topics explained. You don't have the topics explained, except it's called setting the scene. So you eliminate the first chapter. But then, even if you add the first chapter, you'll get more than 700 with these, because I'm overlapping a lot of these. Many of the verses on devotional service are also about Ishvara. And some of them are about Prakriti, and some of them are about Atma. I don't think any of them are about Karma or Kala. So that's why, you know, add up the numbers, it's not going to come to the right amount. But the whole first chapter, and many parts of the other chapters, are just Arjuna asking a question. You know, what is sannyas and the renounced order of life? Like Arjuna starts the 18th chapter. I didn't include that in that analysis because it's Arjuna's questions. Okay? So, any other questions about Bhagavad Gita? Rishikesh. That's the name of Krishna.
Maharaj, in that verse I would understand Dharma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Sochuti Na Kakshya.
Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mahabhakti Lavate Pura.
If I am a Jiva Bhuta, I am not in Dharma Bhuta. So my devotional service is not even
begun. What? you're going by the translation. Devotional service. Brahma Bhuta, to understand that you are spirit soul, that is good enough to engage in devotional service. Like Prabhupada would say sometimes, he said all my disciples are pure devotees. I mean, first time he said that, I was thinking, well, I guess he's not including me, because I haven't seen Krishna yet. But Prabhupada said, anyone who's following strictly, it's like the example of a tree, an apple tree, where you have the little bud of the apple. If it's allowed to grow properly, it will become an apple. So in the same way, the devotee is developing as a pure devotee right now. Or a little child is developing as an adult or whatever. So yes, if you understand Brahma Bhuta, if you understand that at least theoretically, then you can engage. And even if you don't understand it, you can do something called Agyata Sukriti. Even if you don't know who Krishna is and you don't even read Bhagavad Gita, if you do a little service for Krishna, you get so much benefit. Even by accident. Let's say you're walking down the street and a devotee comes and a devotee drops something on the ground and you pick it up and give it to the devotee. You've made your life successful. Prabhupada told me, I was in charge of a school once in Krishna consciousness before the children sent me on traveling Sankirtan. So every Saturday or Sunday, we would take the old stale bread from the temple and give it to the ducks. And Prabhupada said that those ducks will become human beings in the next life. That's nice, isn't it? So I don't think the ducks understood anything about Brahma Bhuta. I think all they understood was quack, quack. So, but still they made spiritual advancement. But if you understand and accept Krishna, then you're actually on the path of devotional service. The devotional service begins with the Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service and practice. Mad Bhakti Labhate. But also in the beginning stage, you're also Sochati Kanchatiya. You must lament and hanker sometimes, right? I won't ask you what you lament for or what you hanker for, don't worry. But one who's completely in the Brahman platform never hankers or laments for anything. Samak Sarveshu, he's equal poise. amongst that for everything in every circumstance. Sarveshu, samak sarveshu, bhuteshu. He sees all living entities equally also, by bhuteshu. Mad bhaktim labhate param. And that person could come to devotional service. Okay?
Is there another mic? Maharaj, I had two questions.
Yeah.
So the first one was, so Gita has 700 verses.
Yes.
So did Krishna say those verses in that particular sequence that we see in Bhagavad Gita as it is? Did he actually speak all those 700 verses to Arjuna?
Arjuna spoke some of them too.
Right, yeah.
And Sanjaya, no, it's actually Sanjaya spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and he's reciting it to Dhritarashtra. See, the whole Bhagavad Gita is Sanjaya's narration, and the sequence, when you have Krishna speaking, is the same, when you have Arjuna speaking, is the same. But a lot of the verses are like Sanjaya relating what's happening in the battlefield. Someone is blowing this conch shell, someone is blowing that conch shell, and Arjuna dropped his bow and said, I shall not fight. That's not Krishna speaking, of course, that's Sanjaya. So basically, it's coming through Sanjaya.
And the second question was, I had heard that the overall Gita took around 40 minutes.
Yes.
Okay, so that's true. I mean, where is that information given? It took 40 minutes.
The Acharyas have written that. It took about 40 minutes. Prabhupada said that... And Arjuna understood everything in about 40 minutes. I don't think they had a watch at that time, but about 40 minutes. So Prabhupada said it takes us a whole lifetime to understand the Gita. And Prabhupada said that showed how exalted or intelligent Arjuna was. But it can't be recited. It's a conversation. I mean, it's only 700 verses. I mean, it sounds like a lot. It's only 700 verses. I mean, in 40 minutes, I'm sorry about this example I'm going to give. I've heard ladies speak like 1,400 verses in 40 minutes. Equivalent. Is that true or false? True. False. Okay, so we got to divide the room's divided now. Well, I've heard my mother speak. So. Equivalent of 1,400. It's a conversation. You'd be surprised if someone keeps speaking back and forth. And Arjuna was really nervous the whole time. And they just had a few minutes before the battle of Kurukshetra. It's not like the movie. Actually, there's a recent version of the Mahabharata where Krishna freezes everybody like this. Anyone seen that movie? That's not what happened. That, you know, all of a sudden, Grandfather Bhishma. You saw that? No, that's a new version of the Mahabharata. It's very. I like that Mahabharata a lot, but that part's not accurate. So, you know, he only had 40 minutes, you know, and Duryodhana was wondering, you know, the whole time, wow, Arjuna's not going to fight Hari Bol. Because he didn't say Hari Bol. He probably said. So he was ecstatic when he saw Arjuna drop his bow. And so, you know, 40 minutes, I guess they waited there on their chariots.
Their communication was not actually all the 700 verses, right? It was just a subset of those 700 verses.
Yeah, well, the ones that Sanjaya spoke are not, you know, the whole first chapter basically was not spoken. So it's less than 700 verses. You're right, absolutely right. Yeah, that stuff too. At the end too. Wherever there's Krishna and Judah, there's morality and victory and everything like that. That was any verse spoken by Sanjaya as descriptive was not part of that 40 minutes. So that's true. Yeah, yeah.
Is it authentic that that's the actual place where Bhagavad Gita was spoken? What do Acharyas
say? People say it's the place where Bhagavad Gita was spoken. I mean, I don't have any direct evidence that it was that place, unless some Acharya was personally like realized that it's the place. It's taken as the place, yes. I never heard Prabhupada said this is the exact place where Bhagavad Gita was spoken. I mean, many times you go to holy places in India and they'll say this happened here, and then you go 5 kilometers away and the same thing happened there. And you ask, where did the story come from? You go, I don't know. I mean, Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The battlefield of Kurukshetra is a real, I mean, it's a real battlefield. It's not just the, you know, the body of someone, like some commentator said. So exactly the place. The point is, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll be transported to that place. So you can travel through sound vibration. I mean, many people want to go to some place and see Krishna did this here, Krishna did that. But if you hear nicely, you will have Vrindavan, you will have Bhagavad Gita manifest in your own heart. So many years ago, I used to be really into spiritual tourism in India. You know, they will hear, oh, this is where Lord Nrisimhadev ripped open the pillar, a hole of them. This is where this happened. This is where that happened. Now I more or less hear about it from authorized sources like Prabhupada, and I go to Govardhan and I'm happy. Because I realize I can't see too much. What can we see with these eyes? So that, you know, I know it's good to go to a holy place, but the real purpose of going to the holy place is to hear from the sages who are there. If you simply go to a holy place and you don't hear, you just take a bath, then it's like, say, Eva Gokura, Bhagavatam says. So it isn't that important if it actually happened here, you know, 10 meters away from that particular place. But the real point is the Bhagavad Gita, the sound vibration. We can see with our ears. Shushushro shradana shavasa devikata ruchi shan mahat seviya vipra punya tirta shavana. That's how we see it, because I see so many things that don't exist, and I don't see so many things that do exist. So what do we see? I mean, I've been to so many holy places, and by reading Prabhupada's books, I get much more realization than going to these places and hearing so many stories. Of course, I take devotees around Govardhan, and I tell them so many stories about the things that I know to be true. But I don't travel so much anymore. I used to take people in buses around India when I was a young man. Did anyone ever go on a bus trip with me in India? Anyone here? Oh, Sadhvi's here. She went on one. And Rangadevi went on one. That was fun, wasn't it? But would you get more realizations out of going on the bus trip or reading Prabhupada's books? Yes. That was the point. Because you're connecting with a pure devotee. And the pure devotee is the transparent via medium between you and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's a channel between the ear and the heart. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. And there's not so much of a channel between the eye and the heart. Usually with the eye, you just fall in love anyway. It was. Anyway, so apart from that, so one more question. Ujala, you had a question here. Nikanchati. Samak
Savage. On that platform, pure devotional service, rendered on the platform, there's no anxiety, no desire about it. So how to understand a spiritual anxiety or a spiritual desire? Because both the spiritual anxiety and desire may have the same physical manifestations when they're in a material anxiety.
Yes, that's true. That's actually true. How do we understand that spiritual anxiety is anxiety for serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna? I mean, the pure devotees, the gopis, are always in anxiety about pleasing Krishna. The coward boys are in anxiety. Mother Yashoda is in anxiety that Krishna's going to get hurt. Prabhupada was in anxiety over different difficulties in spreading Krishna consciousness. And the physical manifestations can be very similar. But that anxiety is purifying. Whereas the anxiety just for one's own self-centered anxiety is not purifying. And that anxiety is blissful. I mean, let's take the example of some loving anxiety in this world. Let's say a mother is in anxiety over her son. Okay? Like when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, my mother was in a lot of anxiety. You know, she told everyone that I had gone to Israel. But anyway, so So if I tell my mother, or someone told my mother, I can give you a pill and you'll be free from that anxiety, would she want that? No, because that anxiety is an anxiety of love. So when you really love someone, then the anxiety is a manifestation of love. So a pure devotee, he manifests his love by being anxiety. I wouldn't want to give up my anxiety. Sorry. I do want to. Anyway. Not anymore. But anyway, so I wouldn't want to. No, seriously, I wouldn't want to give up my anxiety for serving Krishna. Because that's love. I mean, love means all sorts of emotions. If we just, like, take away all the emotions in relationship to Krishna, then we got nothing. So everything's fully manifest. There's anxiety. There's passion in relationship to Krishna. There's anger in relationship to Krishna. You know, getting angry at someone who wants to hurt Krishna, someone blasphemes Krishna, someone who wants to hurt a devotee. And that's part of love. I do not want to give up. I do not want to give up the symptoms of love that I have for Krishna and Prabhupada. And the mother, at least my mother, still doesn't want to give up the symptoms of love that she has for me. Because that's love, isn't it? I mean, what would be a mother without anxiety? But she's a mother. Here she's always anxiety. About her husband, about her children. About the temple, you know. The more anxiety, the better. Anyway, that anxiety is pure. It's hard to understand. It's hard to understand when we're not in Krishna consciousness. But it's part of love. I mean, what does love mean? Love means willingness to accept anything on behalf of the beloved. And when we do that, it demonstrates our love. And inspires others. So, is that all right?
Hi.
But no more anxiety for me, Krishna. At least not today. No more text messages. No more email. You know, nice emails like, everything's all right. We love you, Gurudev. The county decided to give us the permits. You know, it's only going to cost $200 to fix it. Great. You know, I can deal with that. Okay, thank you very much. So it's time for prasadam. We don't want to go on too late. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Let's also thank